I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
It's not easy.
World number one Novak Djokovic was disqualified from the U.S. Open for accidentally hitting a line judge in the throat with a tennis ball during his fourth round match on Sunday. It was a stunning end to the Serb's 29-match winning streak and a bid for an 18th Grand Slam title. Players like Canadian Denis Shapovalov were also stunned.
It's very tough. I mean, I've been through that myself, you know, and honestly, I feel awful for him. I feel terrible for everybody. You know, nobody, you know, wants to be in this situation. You know, obviously, thankfully, the ref, the linesman is okay. You know, I saw, you know, obviously he had zero intention to go after her, and it was just a fluke. You know, it's accidents like this that happen. Yeah, it's just super, super unfortunate.
Residents in Belgrade had various thoughts on the surprise development. I am not a supporter of conspiracy theories, but everything is very strange to me. I read what Mats Wilander said, that these are just rules. The rules should be followed, especially in this sport. I follow tennis from time to time, but I have never seen such a thing. I didn't even know about that rule. In any case, it's a shame.
Catastrofa.
It's a catastrophe. It's a total discrimination. What did he do? He did not do anything. Just because he is a Serb. Because he is a Serb and he has good results, and because he's the best in the world. I think the referee did the right thing. That is according to the regulations. Maybe they should have looked at the video replay, because it can be seen in the video that he did not do it intentionally. After that, he approached and apologized to the line judge. Maybe it could have ended differently, but in this way, we cannot even blame the referees, because the decision was made according to the rules, and it says the rules that whoever hits the officials will be disqualified from the tournament. The U.S. Tennis Association issued a statement, which said the tournament referee defaulted Djokovic in accordance with the Grand Slam rulebook following his actions of intentionally hitting a ball dangerously or recklessly within the court, or hitting a ball with negligent disregard of the consequences. While his fellow players say they feel bad for everyone involved, many, like Denis Shapovalov, see an opportunity for themselves and fans alike.
Definitely not the way we wanted to have a new Grand Slam champion, but you know, it's pretty exciting to see so many young guys doing so well, and obviously, you know, with some of the top guys not playing, it's opened up the draw quite a bit for everybody. So you're seeing a lot of new players that normally fans wouldn't get to see. So it's great for them, it's great for everybody, and I think it's just amazing for the sport to have a new Grand Slam champion. You know, it's been getting pretty boring with these three guys winning every tournament.
You would think seeing Serena Williams on the other side of the net, especially at the U.S. Open, would be quite intimidating. But not for Svetlana Pirenkova of Bulgaria.
I'm really looking forward to that match, because I know the feeling is going to be very special. And yeah, I will try to do my best, and I can't wait.
Unlike you and I, she has some experience against the six-time champion.
Yeah, definitely a tough one. I played against Serena a few times. I haven't won. But, you know, playing such a champion, such a legend of the game, it's tremendous honor, obviously.
Pirenkova, a former Wimbledon semi-finalist, feels she now has some new strengths as a first-time mother.
Everything in mothering, I guess, it's helped me. Obviously, you become a different person. You don't focus on yourself that much anymore. Like, your focus is primary on your child, and I guess that's a good thing. I'm a lot more organized as well. I have more mental endurance also. Physically, I know my body better. And yeah, everything. Like, I cannot really start pointing each thing.
Pirenkova hopes those qualities will give her an advantage against most opponents. But as luck would have it, Serena Williams also shares the experience as a new mom. With Novak Djokovic out of the U.S. Open, the world number one has a little more time to address some of the other aspects professional tennis players face, like dealing with COVID-19 issues.
Players, I think, are left with very little information and very little power to express themselves or to fight. And, you know, for their own right and to play and to travel back home. It's very, very strange, I must say, although, you know, these are strange times, very unpredictable what tomorrow brings, obviously, not just here in States, but just in the world altogether. But I'm hoping that this can be improved. I'm hoping that this is only this year and only this tournament, but it doesn't seem like that.
Djokovic is at the center of a new proposed players-only organization, in which initial discussions only included men. He says women are welcome to join.
There's been a lot of talks about this being only men's organization or association, and it's not true. We have been talking with women tennis players in the last 5-6 days and trying to share as much as information with them as possible and hopefully get their support and hopefully get them in as well in big numbers as part of this association.
He says the proposed players organization is designed to exist harmoniously within the existing professional tennis structure.
We are not separating or dividing. We are actually getting united. This is first time after many, many years that players will have 100% their own association that will represent them in the tennis ecosystem. ATP, WTA still stay the same, still stay in the, you know, as the governing bodies of our tours, and they are supposed to be there, and that's fine. We can live together. We can coexist.
Djokovic has been surprised with the pushback he's received from some players since announcing his new players-only organization.
I don't understand why there is so much resistance towards this association, especially from players. I have to say I'm unpleasantly surprised with some players, you know, thinking this is not good for our sport.
You know, it never gets old. We're very fortunate and blessed to be in this position.
The fastest 2 minutes in sports, the Kentucky Derby, has legendary trainer Bob Baffert again on top of the horse racing world. Authentic, with jockey John Velazquez on board, delivered Baffert's record-tying 6th Derby win.
The whole key to the race was, you know, we were watching, the break was going to be the whole key, you know, to get away from there, and we knew what we talked about, what horses were going to be where.
Baffert trusted his jockey's instincts.
When you've been in this game long enough, and you, a guy like Johnny, a top, you know, world-class jockey like Johnny, is that we sort of know how it's going to play out. He knows, you know, they know what how jockeys ride. We know how everything works. You know, I told him what I thought, and he told me what he thought, and I said, I like your plan. And so, it's a great plan.
As for the strategy beyond the start,
we're worried about being on the outside because, you know, he breaks out and all that. But, you know, I told him, you know, when we talked about the horse, I told him what he doesn't like and what you can do and what he likes. And I can't tell you what it was because there's still another race to run.
That next race will be the final of the so-called Triple Crown. This year, it's the Preakness in Baltimore, as the coronavirus pandemic scrambled the traditional order of races. Baffert credited his jockey for beating Belmont Stakes winner Tis the Law.
You know, I've been fortunate to have these great jockeys win these races, but that was won by Johnny. Johnny, that race will go down as one of the top, just the way he handled a horse. He earned that one right there. That horse, he beat a really good horse. Tis the Law is a top-class horse.
Velazquez simply gave credit to the horse, Authentic.
If you don't have the horse, it's just not going to work out. You know, we can plan whatever we want, and if the horse doesn't respond for the things you want to do, it's worth it. When you get after him and they give you everything they can, and he did. I mean, he responded every time I asked him for more, he get more. What a feeling I had. We got to give it to the horse.
The Preakness, like the Belmont Stakes and Kentucky Derby, will be held without the usual throng of thousands of screaming spectators. All eyes are on the Los Angeles Lakers, the top seed in the NBA playoffs.
We built the team to be able to play in different ways. And, you know, be able to play big versus teams, be able to play small, be able to play in between. You know, we built that from the beginning, and we have that, always had it in our toolbox.
The Lakers took a wild ride at Disney, where all the teams in the postseason are playing in the NBA bubble. But the bubble came close to bursting for Los Angeles as a 2-0 series deficit to the Houston Rockets loomed large, until King James stepped up in the second half of Game 2 as Los Angeles figured out their opponent.
Sometimes you need one game to be able to understand the speed that they play with. And I think we adjusted from Game 1 to Game 2. Extremely fast team. They have, everyone keeps talking about the small ball, but their speed and their activity defensively and offensively is something that can catch you off guard, from, like a game one situation. And we got a feel for that. And we understand how hard and how much, every possession and how much scrambling and how much running and how much pace and how physical, the game is going to be versus this team, because they're very good, extremely good. No matter who's out on the floor.
Rockets coach Mike D'Antoni was hoping for a rebound.
We got them going because we came out a little softer than they did. And I think we'll learn from that and know that it's a dogfight. And hopefully next game, right from the opening tap, we're going to fight a lot harder.
But it was the Lakers who rolled with a big first half performance by LeBron to capture Game 3 as James set an NBA record with 162 postseason wins. But while he's living a Disney fantasy, his kids are not.
I mean, I got a 16-year-old. I mean, he's going to sit in the bubble and do what? I got a 13-year-old. He's going to do what? And then my 5-year-old girl, there's nothing for her to do here. The park is not open. I mean, there's only so many times she can go to the pool. You know, my kids are too adventurous, and they love to do so much stuff. It makes no sense for them to be here. There's nothing for them to do here. Go outside, come back in, go outside, come back in. They can stay in L.A., and they're great. There's literally nothing for them to do here. This is not a kid-friendly place, to be honest.
Stand up! Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the sunny side of sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the sunny side of sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
It's been a long road, but for American golfer Dustin Johnson,
I'm definitely excited it's over and that I can celebrate a little bit now instead of it was a grind out there. But I'm very proud to be the FedEx Cup champion.
Johnson won the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta, Georgia to seal the win and secure the season-long FedEx Cup.
You know, I got off to a great start, and then, I played really well coming down the stretch. But, it was a tough day. Tough golf course.
Johnson came into the event leading in the point standing. It was his to win or lose.
I was nervous. I always get nervous because it means something. And, I get nervous on the first hole, kind of settled down a little bit. And then obviously the back nine, definitely could feel it just because, a lot of really good players around me and they were playing well. So I knew I was going to have to shoot a good score on the back nine if I wanted to win.
The world number one was asked if the prize money or the title meant more to him.
Probably the prestige, for sure. Just because, being a FedEx Cup champion, something that, I really wanted to do. And, I wanted to hold that trophy at the end of the day. It was something that I wanted to accomplish during my career. And obviously, I got one of them. And now I'm going to try to get me another.
Johnson banked $15 million for winning the FedEx Cup. But he remembers more humble days when less money made a big impression.
When I went through all three stages of Q school, I got my tour card. And I think they give you like a $25,000 check. Yeah, I thought I was rich. Because I didn't have a couple hundred bucks in my bank account, probably. So then I went to the first tournament in Hawaii. I think I finished 10th, and I don't know, it was 100 grand or something. That was big, and obviously that was a lot of money to me.
Johnson now chases different forms of value beyond big paychecks.
At this stage in my career, I'm fortunate enough where I don't need to think about that. It's all about, winning and the trophies. The money's not... I don't really care about that. I want to win tournaments and I want to win trophies.
With so many changes because of the pandemic, Johnson has found a new caddy who has only carried a bag in 4 tournaments. His brother.
AJ's a big part of the game. Obviously he's my brother. We're a good team. He reads the greens well and he's done a great job over the last 4 weeks, four tournaments, and you know, I'm very proud to have my brother on the bag with me.
Now his brother has a long-term job with the world's top golfer.
It didn't take him long to catch on, and you know, he's a very good caddy, and you know, he would do well for anybody, but he's going to be on my bag for a long time until I quit.
I think it's still kind of setting in. I mean, the nerves were going nuts the whole round.
American John Catlin has his first professional golf win on one of the world's toughest courses, Valderrama in Spain.
This is a very difficult golf course. The greens are firm and fast, and the wind was no easier than it had been the previous 3 days. And that was my goal at the start of 2019, was to win on the European Tour, too. So to have actually accomplished that is just pretty hard to put into words right now.
Even surrounded by world-class players on the European Tour, Catlin found the elements to be his toughest opponent.
The hardest part right now is to hit the fairways. You know, the winds are kind of cross breeze on most of them, you know, down and right to left, down and left to right, into left to right. So if you get kind of any kind of the wrong spin going, you can start to end up in the rough, and the greens are just getting firmer and firmer. So fairways were a must. And, you know, I was able to hit the fairway here on 18, and I think that might have made a big difference.
Catlin topped the leaderboard by a single stroke over German veteran Martin Kamer, who also found the slick course and greens unusually challenging.
It was very difficult today, I think, to make some putts because they put the pins very tricky positions today. It was very, very firm around the greens, almost burnt, so you can't really be that aggressive. So I played smart and avoided the mistakes.
Bigger than winning the tournament, Catlin won elevated playing status, which puts him in all of the European Tour events for this season and next.
We all want to play the big-time events. We want to play against the best. That's why playing against guys like Martin, and you know, I played with Rory, I played with Brooks. Playing with those guys, it just shows you that you can do it. So having the opportunity to play in those events is fantastic.
It only seems like Formula One great Lewis Hamilton wins every race he's in. This week, prove someone else can take the checkered flag. 24-year-old French driver Pierre Gasly claimed his first ever Formula One victory at the Italian Grand Prix.
It's been such a crazy ride in the last 18 months. And yeah, today we're Italian Grand Prix race winner. And I mean, it was unexpected. We just focused on ourselves the whole time since last year, improving day by day. And to have such an outcome in Italy for an Italian team feels almost like home. And yeah, it's my first F1 win. Is unbelievable.
The AlphaTauri driver finished ahead of Carlos Sainz of McLaren, who missed a chance to grab the lead when a penalty flag came out against Hamilton.
The red flag came out, and I tell you, that was probably the angriest moment of my life, because I knew I was missing out on a leading, potentially leading the race. But I, even with a used tire going through the field in the last few laps, was a good fun, and nearly catching Pierre, obviously nearly, but happy with that.
Racing Point driver Lance Stroll placed third to round out an unusual podium of three drivers who had never won, with each having just one career top three finish. It was also a race where both Ferrari cars failed to finish on their home circuit. Mercedes star Lewis Hamilton appeared on course for a comfortable victory from pole position, but he was given the stop-go penalty for entering the pit lane when it was closed. Still, he edged closer to another season championship.
Really, really grateful for the points that I got in the end. I'd move on to the next one and give it my best. But up until then, I think I'd done a really, really good job. The start was perfect, but you know, today wasn't meant to be the day.
Hamilton would end up placing seventh for the day. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.